You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Coming up tonight after 7 on Ken Rudin's Political Junkie, the drama in the Senate over the Betsy DeVos nomination and a vice president standing by in case of a tie. That was exactly the plot of the 1962 movie Advise and Consent. Playwright Murray Horowitz discusses the film and helps draw parallels to what's happening in the current Senate. That's tonight after 7 here on the Ideas Network.
Now, Governor Walker released his 2-year state budget on Wednesday, which looks at everything from voucher schools to tax credits. He also touched on the future of the Department of Natural Resources, a state agency that's seen a shrinking budget and job cuts for scientists and other positions.
Some were concerned that Walker would push for breaking up the DNR, but in his budget, he called for reorganizing the department. The plan has gotten support from Secretary Kathy Stepp and would reduce the number of divisions in the DNR from 7 to 5.
Michael Kraft joins us now. He's an emeritus professor in the Department of Public and Environmental Affairs at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Michael, welcome back to the show.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Well, the biggest news may be what didn't happen in that budget. This plan circulating, some lawmakers behind it saying, hey, let's break up the DNR, spread out its jobs. The governor said no, or he didn't do that. And some leading lawmakers are saying, well, if he didn't, we're not going to. Is that a pretty significant non-decision?
Well, to the extent the governor is actually saying he's not going to break up the DNR, it would be significant. It wasn't clear until his statement, and I didn't listen to the State of the State speech, so I take your word for it that that's what he said. He did propose in his budget to reduce the divisions in the DNR from 7 to 5 and to have higher park fees because the state no longer funds the state parks, this was a decision made in the last biennial budget. This plan to break up the DNR has been kicking around for a long time. And it has been strongly opposed by the Wisconsin Conservation Congress, by former DNR secretaries, by, of course, a variety of environmental and conservation groups. The support for it seems to come, and I guess there's a parallel on the national level with the EPA and the incoming administrator of that agency, Scott Pruitt. There's a desire to cut back on what people in the business community think of as burdensome regulation and a lot of red tape that slows down development, adds to the cost. And by breaking up the DNR into essentially a Fish and Wildlife Division and an Environmental Protection Division, the hope is that the state can better fund the conservation causes, which are very popular, but perhaps cut back on funding and support for the environmental protection, that is clean air, clean water, toxic chemical regulation, and so forth. So I'm happy if the governor, in fact, is opposing this change. That would be a good thing, in my judgment.
I don't know that he specifically opposed it. He just didn't include it in the budget is the main point there. Yeah.
Well, if he didn't include it in the budget, that's perhaps a sign that he's not going to support it. But I guess we'll have to wait to see. As I mentioned, the Kathy Stepp, the DNR secretary, supported the plan. This apparently came from a Wisconsin state legislator who thought it would be a good idea to split it up. And it's not the first time we've heard that kind of proposal. But if you want an academic take on it, what we now have is what's called an integrated environmental agency at the state level. And that's true in well over half the states, and especially large states like New York and California. And the reason for that is there's a belief in environmental science and policy circles that it's better to bring everything together in one agency because it's all related. So, for example, water quality in a river basin affects the quality of that river, which in turn affects fisheries, which in turn affects the bay into which the water flows. If you break up fish and wildlife separate from regulating water pollution, you now have no way to integrate your management of resources. So it's better from a scientific and management perspective to have one agency where people in different departments of that agency can talk to one another and bring science and good practice to bear on the decisions. When you start breaking up the fish and wildlife part from the environmental protection, you're going to undercut the environmental protection side because decisions will not be informed by the connections between those two. And they are very strongly connected.
Well, one change that is in the governor's budget proposal says when it comes to regulating these large livestock farms, CAFOs, people call them, he wants a study. This isn't a done deal, but a study on the idea of moving regulation of water runoff from the DNR to the Agriculture Department. What kind of impact would that have?
Well, I can see the logic of it because the CAFOs, after all, are an agricultural enterprise. At the same time, it's most agriculture departments, and I think this is true of Wisconsin and most other states, tend to be pro-business or pro-farmer agricultural activities. They are generally less concerned with the harm done to groundwater underneath those lands, which in turn affects people who live close to those areas whose water is being contaminated by the CAFOs. So from my perspective, it makes more sense to have the DNR regulate surface water and groundwater quality and to take action where possible, particularly to encourage CAFOs to operate in a more sensible way that protects the quality of the water. I think that's less likely to happen if the CAFOs are not under the jurisdiction of the DNR, because agriculture departments generally are a little less vigilant in protecting something that's not immediately connected to the agricultural productivity.
Talking to Michael Kraft, Emeritus Professor at UW Green Bay, looking at how the state budget might affect the state's DNR, environmental protection in the state, and state parks, Michael. A change here, the governor calling for authorizing fee increases at state parks and maybe different fee structures for camping and admission at, those high-profile parks like Devil's Lake. And this comes after cuts in state support for those parks. Talk about that
a little. Yeah, well, my understanding is we didn't just cut support for the parks, we eliminated it. The parks are now wholly dependent on fees, and so far the fees are not sufficient to manage the parks. I was a little surprised when this was done 2 years ago that more people didn't take notice of it, because Wisconsin is a state that prizes the parks and trails and wants those to be maintained and available to as many people as want to get access. And generally in states where that's the case, there's a little bit, you know, of what you might call a state subsidy or support. So you don't expect those who actually drive into parks to pay the full cost of maintaining the parks. You know, just like we have public schools and public university system, there's a little bit, granted a diminishing amount, but at least some state level support. But to eliminate all state support means that you have to raise the fees significantly. And that means that people with limited income can no longer gain access to the parks. And that runs counter to the way we've done things in Wisconsin previously.
Do you know if there's much precedent to dropping state support like that? I remember at the time people were trying to find parallels or success stories, and there weren't a lot out there.
Well, I imagine not. I'm not aware of any other state that's done it, which is not to say there isn't a state that's done it. I originally hail from California, which is strongly supportive of state parks. And since I've lived in Wisconsin nearly 40 years now, Wisconsin, I thought, was comparable. We have wonderful state parks. People enjoy them, make great use of them, and there's been a lot of state support financially and otherwise for the parks. That's why I said I was surprised there wasn't more public reaction to the decision to no longer fund the state parks and make them wholly dependent upon user fees, as we call them. That is entrance fees and licensing fees. And that's okay if the fees are modest, and you could even argue, well, the people that use the parks ought to pay for them. But, you know, then you raise a question of economic inequality. Some people can't afford to pay ever-increasing fees, and they and their families might be excluded from the park. So if we're going to continue down that road and raise fees even more, I think we're likely to see a bigger reaction as people discover that it's much more costly to visit the parks, to camp in the parks, to take their families along, and the governor may get some feedback from that that's not going to be very positive.
I want to bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Scott is on the line in Green Bay. Scott, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
Didn't get a chance to really write down my thoughts very long, but 3 points. I'm not sure how fees for our natural resources at the state parks and all my licenses and even possibly canoe taxes and everything else is any different than the fees they're talking about that he doesn't want to put on our highway system. I mean, it's not the bird watchers and it's not the kayakers that are paying for our natural resources that the people from Illinois And when we double the tourism bill every year in the state of Wisconsin and take access of our wetlands and our stuff out here in the state of Wisconsin, I think more people should be paying for those fees and taxes. And the person that you have on the radio is absolutely right. The second thing is this continuous firing of teachers, administration, and the DNR people throughout our entire state, where they only bring in younger people and they're firing all our 20-year veterans, and there's countless of them. And many of the agencies that I'm having to work with on a daily basis have shifted people annually every single year to new positions, and I could give you countless of them. But when you fire 35 or 100 scientists out of the state just so they can't bring forward evidence, I'm sorry, I go to church on Sunday, and I don't support just burying evidence so that we don't have any science to support anything. And then, like I said, he's appointed all these positions so he has control over everything. It's authoritarian leadership, and it has to go because our resources in the state of Wisconsin are being absolutely pillaged under this conservative, and I will put it under the Christian name, that we need science, and we don't need science for Democrats or Republicans. We need science to make good decisions.
Scott, thanks for the call. I want to get into that point about cuts in staff, Michael.
Yeah, of course, this goes back to the previous biennial budget decision where a number of budget cuts were particularly targeted at scientific and educational staff in the DNR. And that was a pretty significant reduction. And that also, much as happened with the university, led to a lot of retirements or resignations. So the DNR is much weaker now in its scientific capacity. And frankly, I think that was intentional. We see a parallel at the national level where we don't want scientists to talk about climate change in the US EPA and another in the Energy Department. So Wisconsin was a bit ahead of that game. The last time I was on this show, in fact, we talked about the efforts to eliminate discussions of climate change. And so beyond that, eliminating DNR science stats makes the agency much less capable of dealing with a whole range of issues, as Scott indicated, and that's separate from the question of fees. In other words, he notes the governor's adamant about not raising gasoline taxes to pay for highway maintenance, yet he wants to sharply increase fees for access to state resources. And as Scott indicated, that's hunting and fishing and canoeing and entrance to state parks and a whole variety of things. And I don't think we know yet just how high those fees will go. But basically, this is a defunding of the state parks and state natural resource protection.
We're talking to Michael Kraft, Emeritus Professor in Public and Environmental Affairs at UW-Green Bay, looking at Governor Walker's plans for the DNR after he released his proposed state budget.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you think of plans for the state DNR? Do you think they should be allowed to raise admission and camping fees to state parks? What do you think of moving regulation of large farms from the DNR to the Agriculture Department? Tell us what you think at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you coming up on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're continuing our conversation with Michael Kraft, Emeritus Professor in the Department of Public and Environmental Affairs at the UW-Green Bay. We're looking at Governor Walker's proposed state budget and what it means for the Department of Natural Resources.
Tell us what you think, calling 800-642-1234. You can post on the Central Time Facebook page. How do you feel about the potential changes to the DNR? What do you think of shifting some responsibilities from the DNR to the Agriculture Department? And do you have any concerns about how some of these changes will affect the environment? Our number is 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll go to our callers again. We've got Gordy on the line in Muskego. Gordy, hi.
How are you doing today?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
I would love to see the DNR, and I've advocated for that for a long time, see the DNR split into two separate entities. Everyone benefits from cleaner air, water, and environmental issues. Therefore, it should be paid by all the citizens of the state of Wisconsin. Meanwhile, my belief is that the majority of fees that the DNR gets are from hunting and fishing licenses and outdoor pursuits. I'd love to see my hunting and fishing license fees go only for hunting and fishing and that related stuff. And meanwhile, then the state, through the taxes and whatever else, get all the environmental stuff paid for by everybody who benefits from that feature.
Gordy, thanks for the call. So, Michael, divvy them up. Let hunting and fishing pay for that kind of hunting and fishing-related stuff, and then use general-purpose revenue for the environmental protection.
Yes, I know many people who support the splitting up of the DNR have made the kind of argument that Gordy does, and at a certain level, it certainly makes sense. People who hunt and fish say, I don't know why my fees can't go only for the activities I'm engaged in. Why do they have to go off to support the DNR? And I think if the state were willing to separately fund the DNR, that would be a reasonable thing to do. But if the state is not going to provide the funds that otherwise would be pulled out, and Gordy mentioned he's in favor of clean air and clean water too, well, how are we going to get that if the DNR is without the resources that it needs? So you have two solutions. One, you keep the integrated approach, which I think makes sense scientifically and administratively anyway. Or if you are going to split up these functions because you think each part can better operate as a separate entity, then the state has to fund the environmental protection side. And I'm not convinced that we will do that, nor more than I'm convinced at the national level that the U.S. EPA is going to get the funding and staffing that it needs to carry out those vitally important national laws. And we already have evidence that the DNR is short-staffed and short-funded because it has been cited repeatedly by the federal EPA for not adequately protecting air and water in the state of Wisconsin and running well behind the schedule for inspections and enforcement of the law. And I think we're going to be even worse off if we don't either fund the DNR separately or continue to rely on a variety of fees for that purpose.
Gordy, thanks for the call. We're talking to Michael Kraft, expert on the environment and the politics of the environment. Back to our callers now with David on the line in Milwaukee. David, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'm an educator, a freelance educator. Used to work for the Audubon Society for 18 years, and I'm just so saddened by the cut of all the budget and stuff for the state parks. I mean, the state parks are for everybody, and when you put someone like Kathy Stepp, who has no experience in conservation, and you have Governor Walker, who is not educated at all, and his claim to fame with conservation is being an Eagle Scout, which is really not a lot of background. So, to me, the cut to money, I don't mind raising and paying a little bit of fees, as long as the fees go to the park, which is the benefit of friends groups or whatever, but it seems to me that we need scientists, and it's a scary thing when you find out that the science is being skewed and directed, and you can't say climate change, and it's so sad to see all of these DNR. I mean, people used to, when I moved to Wisconsin in 1983, it was the theme was Escape to Wisconsin, and the idea was that we had such great parks and great places to come to, and now it's, you know, kind of a joke, Escape from Wisconsin. So that's my opinion.
David, thanks for the call. Michael, your thoughts?
Well, I think the state still has great parks, and I think people can still escape to Wisconsin. But we're in a time of political change, both within the state and nationally. And at some level, I guess political leaders think this is what the public wants. What David said, I guess I agree with pretty much. He's unhappy that we're losing scientists from the DNR, that the budgets are being cut, that, as we talked about the last time I was on, that the DNR has removed climate change from the website, and which further diminishes the role of science. So I think the solution here, I think, is that those who are listening and their friends and neighbors need to make clear their preferences to state legislators. The state legislature will act on the governor's budget and the proposals contained within it. And if state legislators hear that this is not what people want, they do not want to defund the DNR or the state parks, that they don't want to break up the DNR, I don't think the legislature will go along with this. This is not the first time we've had this kind of proposal. And I think legislators many of them are already skeptical. I think they need to hear from people. And you can find the contact information on the state legislature's webpage.
David, thanks for the call. We'll go next to John calling from Florence. John, hi.
Well, maybe people wouldn't be against the science if you had responsibility in an organization like NOAA that just got busted cooking numbers with regards to climate change. And maybe people could have funding for anything that you wanted if you didn't have guys running around in $70,000 4x4 pickup trucks given tickets because your ATV license plate isn't attached the right way. This is all about choice. And if there was anybody that was calling in that wasn't getting a check from the government, from the state, or a grant to go ahead and espouse their own position, maybe we could be actually have an honest discussion about this.
John, thanks for calling in. John, not wild about the enforcement arm of the DNR, for one thing there, Michael.
No, and John also errs in saying NOAA cooked the books. That's absolutely not correct. There, I know there's the climate denialists believe that's the case. If you read more carefully in prominent publications that have covered this, including Science, Scientific American, New York Times, Washington Post, that those scientific reports were not cooked. And it's misleading to suggest that. But I understand the larger point is that a lot of people do not trust agencies, whether it be NASA, NOAA, EPA, DNR, and so they're receptive to some kind of reorganization and budget cut. And I think that's legislators and the governor who hear from people with those views, and I think that's what motivates them to make the recommendations that we're talking about.
We'll leave it there, Michael, for now, but I'm sure this will be an ongoing conversation.
All right.
Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you.
That was Michael Kraft, Emeritus Professor in the Department of Public and Environmental Affairs at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He was with us to talk about potential changes coming to the State Department of Natural Resources after Governor Walker released his two-year state budget plan this week.
I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.